God exists. There is a God. And our God does not exist as some static, boring reality up in the sky. God exists as the source of everything. He is the source of life. He is life itself. He is a dynamic reality. And as life itself, he is a life giver. God exists in the dynamic, in the dynamism of his supreme beingness. But this God, again, that we can't see, right, with our eyes, because he's pure spirit, is a life giver. And we see an example of this in the first reading today, don't we? Twice, God works through the humanity of Peter to do some amazing things, to heal a paralytic. Next time you go see a person in a wheelchair, think about Jesus. Think about how, wow, when he walked the earth, he did stuff like rise and walk. You don't need that anymore. And he still did it, and he still does it through his church. Our life-giving God has united to himself his body, the church, through which he continues to do amazing things, life-giving things, healing the paralytic, and then raising someone from the dead. All of this is through the instrumentality and the cooperation of St. Peter the Apostle. But the point, again, is that God is life itself, and he is a communicator of life. And this reality makes sense of why God did become man. Because God became man to unite our human nature to itself, a human nature that had fallen into spiritual death and now susceptible to physical death. But God, the life giver, assumes our human nature. And in doing it, he is inviting death to himself. Come here, death. Like I've explained before, come here, death. Come to me. Take me down. Or rather, come to me so I can take you down. Because I am the Lord of life, and you have no power over me. I will take you down into your realm. I will go on your home court, and I will crush you. I will defeat you. I will conquer you. And that's what Jesus does, isn't it? Yes. His passion and death leads to the resurrection. The life-giving power of God conquers death, and Jesus rises from the dead. He communicates this new divine life to our human nature. But that's not enough. God, the life giver, wants to communicate this life to us individually, in a special way. And as I mentioned the other day, he does it through the sacraments, especially with baptism and then through the Eucharist. And this is why Jesus, the life giver, right? God, the life giver, assumes human flesh, Jesus. Now Jesus offers himself through his passion, death, and resurrection. Why? So that he can offer himself to us through the Eucharist. Jesus, the life giver, wants to give life to us and nurture divine life in us. That's what he's about. And this is what the whole Bread of Life discourse is about. Jesus is giving a sneak peek, a preview to his apostles. And again, Jesus wasn't speaking figuratively. That is an erroneous Protestant misunderstanding of this scripture passage. It's a lot of mental gymnastics to try to come to a place to rationalize, well, he's not really speaking literally. Because if you read the text, he is speaking literally because the people take him literally. That's why in the gospel today, the people are saying, this is hard. Who can accept it? What do you mean we have to eat you? That is weird. cannibalism. And not only that, but it's blasphemous to our law. This is not of God. Interesting, isn't it? God is giving them a teaching that is beyond man's understanding. And so now you have the reactions of people. We don't get this. This is crazy. I can't do this. And they walk away. They are, in one sense, they are scandalized by what Jesus said. And they walk away. Because faith is not about being able to see clearly. Faith is not like science. Faith is a different type of knowledge than science. By the way, there are more forms of knowledge than just scientific knowledge. That's an error too. Many people think that you can only have one type of knowledge based on the scientific method, based on what you can see and taste and experience. That's an error as well. Not true. Faith is a type of knowledge as well. But faith is not something like science. You can kind of, because you can measure it, you can kind of come to see the truth of it, and you accept it really easily. You have a firm conviction about it. You can have a firm assent. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, that's it. 2 + 2 = 4. I get it. This altar is 3 feet high. Yeah, I can get my tape measure. I see it. A firm assent. But faith is not that way. Faith is what? Of things that we cannot see. That's what St. Paul says. Faith is about things that we cannot see. So what, if we can't see it intellectually, if we can't grasp it intellectually, well, how do we come to accept it? How does our mind come to assent to it? Well, it has to be moved by our will. But not only that, but God just doesn't give us, we don't just do it blindly. It's not just like a blind acceptance. Our will just doesn't move us to a blind acceptance of something we cannot see. God gives us evidence, right? Faith is about evidence. Faith gives us reasons to believe. And you see this carried out in St. Peter today. He gives the perfect response for when you come upon a teaching of God that is hard to accept because you might not understand it or you just might not agree with it. It doesn't go along with your desires, your own desires, disordered desires, I should say. Peter gives the perfect response. Peter is basically like this. Lord, I don't get what you're saying. I really don't. Eat your flesh, drink your blood. Sounds kind of weird to me. But, and here's the key. If you say it, I'm in. Because I've been around you for so long now. I've seen you do some amazing things. You've said some pretty profound things. And I'm convinced that you are from God. Now, mind you, Peter doesn't know. They don't know yet. They don't really understand that he really is God because they don't have that. Their faith is not of that stature yet. They don't have that gift of grace yet to be able to see it. That happens after the resurrection. But they have enough evidence to see that, where are we going to go? Who else are we going to give our who else are we going to surrender to? Because that's what faith ultimately is about. Faith is about a surrender. It's a surrender of the mind that is moved by the will. A surrender of the will. A surrender of the mind motivated by a surrender of the will. And the will is moved by a love of God. That, because the intellect is moved by the truth. We hunger for the truth. That's what faith gives us. Faith gives us the truth of God. But it's a truth that's bigger than our minds. And so there has to be something else that leads to our acceptance of it. And it has to be from a will that's motivated by the goodness of God. God, you are good. And you are truth itself. and I know you cannot deceive nor be deceived. And so whatever you say, I surrender. I let go and I surrender. And that's faith. And that's what's exercised by Peter. And that's kind of what happens in the early church when in the first reading, the people are hearing about all this stuff going on with this guy who rose from the dead, and all these dudes are going around talking about him, and they're doing these crazy signs. And when they do these crazy signs, they see in themselves, they're like, oh my gosh, this is true, this is real. Where do I sign up? Because that's what the reading says today. It says they were being, the church was being built up. She grew in number. And after every time Peter did something, he healed Ananias, and they turned to the Lord. That's what it says. They saw this guy, a walking miracle, and they turned to the Lord. The same thing with Tabitha. They saw her dead, dead as a stone. And they saw her alive, and it says, they all of Joppa came to know about this, and many came to believe in the Lord. Because they saw a sign, evidence of the power of God at work. They couldn't see God, but they saw evidence of him working through the apostles, and they came to wave the white flag. It's time to surrender. It's time to surrender. And you know why? It makes sense why people do not believe in the Eucharist. It makes sense in many ways because this is an age of control. We got to control, right? Technology, control, yeah. I actually, it's interesting. I've been aware of this guy. I think his name is Roger Haidt. It's like not H-A-T-E, like H-A-I-D-T or something like that. I don't know if I'm saying it exactly right, but he's some kind of smart guy in the university. He teaches business somewhere. He's really, really smart. But he came to see how, and he's been at it for a while, so he's seen how kids have changed, right? He's seen how in the growing, the anxiety, depression, stuff like that. And he has his reasons for it. One of his reasons is he feels that it's like he said, he asked parents, you know, like when you were growing up, at what age did your parents let you go outside of your house on your own? And people are like, well, between like 6 and 8. And now he asked the parents, when do you let your own kids outside on their own to go out? And they said like double digit, like 12. Because sometimes it's like this sense of, you know, control, you know, all this control. It's like everything, you know, kids had, you know, it's just all this, you know, these not allowing kids just to be kids. And you throw in the digital media and all that stuff, and it's just they're not out just being kids, being free, running around. I don't know. That's just his. But it's a sign that points to a lack of surrender, because when we don't want to surrender, because we don't feel in control when we surrender. You know, Jesus is asking his disciples and apostles to believe something that they can't understand, and that is hard. It's a hard teaching. It's weird, and it makes them feel uncomfortable. So there it is. But that's faith. Faith calls us out to surrender to something that is going to make us feel uncomfortable. And it's not just with the Eucharist. It's with everything else. All the other teachings of the faith make people feel uncomfortable in this world. IVF, contraception, all that stuff. Wow, I mean, I can't be in control? I can't be in control of my own body? Well, no, we're not in control. We are surrendered to the God who is the source of life and who wants to lead us to everlasting life. But first, we have to wave the white flag and let him be in charge because he knows what he's doing. So anyway, may we emulate, brothers and sisters, the faith of Peter today. May we give our own response to be able to say, God, you have the words of eternal life. You are truth itself. You are God. You are the source of all life. Whatever you say, I might not get it fully, but I'm in. And I'm going to conform my life, even if it makes me uncomfortable, to your truth. That's the life of faith. And the Blessed Mother lived it perfectly, perfectly. So may the Lord, who is the giver of every gift, the gift of grace, by whom we come to believe, and we cannot believe without his help, may he give us this grace, give us this inspiration to deepen and perfect our faith during this Easter season, so that we can truly experience in our own hearts, in our own life, the divine life that God wants to communicate to us.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.